5 minutes after the second and final hour of the show today. Thanks for being with us here. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you want to get at us on our First Advantage text line, it's 970-478-1301. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And no, Zach, we're not. Fortunately, we're not talking about a Broncos loss. We had the playoffs. Broncos are so far out of that nonsense of a discussion. But they were in the news over the weekend. They're starting to get some of those interviews in as far as the next general manager.
Yes, they certainly are, and a news-packed weekend. And they had 5 interviews this weekend. They started on Friday with Champ Kelly, the Bears assistant director of player personnel, who has also had some ties with the Broncos, working for them in the past. And then they also interviewed 4 other people over the weekend, including Dave Ziegler with the Patriots. And he withdrew his name, wanting to stay in New England. He's going to be Bill Belichick's top personnel guy there. And so they also interviewed Terry Fontenot with the Saints, a guy who's been with the Saints his entire career. George Payton, who's with the Vikings, who's been with the Vikings for a long, long time. He's the guy with the most experience on their list. And they also interviewed an internal candidate, Brian Stark, the director of college scouting for them. So they kind of have it narrowed down to those 3 or 4 guys right now. And today what they're deciding on is if they want to do second interviews, potentially in person or virtual, or if they want to expand their search, considering their search was only starting at 5 guys in the first place. And what's interesting in this right now, Brady, is the Broncos can interview any of these guys in person except for Terry Fontenot. He's with the Saints, and since the Saints beat the Bears yesterday, he is not allowed to do in-person interviews while the Saints are in the playoffs. So that could be another reason why the Broncos are taking a step back and maybe delaying this process, is saying, okay, maybe Terry is our guy, but we want to be with him in person, and we can't do that until the Saints lose. So maybe they're delaying this a week to see if Tampa Bay can beat the Saints next week and allow Terry to travel out to Denver.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, actually. What does the interview process look like? I know some things are opening up a little bit more, but are we doing these in person? Are there some Zooms? What's that looking like as far as the whole interview process?
The first round was all virtual. And like I said, there were a couple of guys this week, not only Terry Fontenot with the Saints, but Champ Kelly with the Bears. They were both in the playoffs, so they could not do in-person interviews. Now, of course, the Bears lost to the Saints, so they can do in-person interviews now. And John Elway and Joe Ellis really hinted last week at wanting to do a second round or a final round of interviews in person. That's what they would like to do. And like I said, they can't do that with Terry Fontenot, who they were impressed with this weekend, until the Saints are out of the playoffs. So they did their first round virtually. If they expand their search, they will also do those first rounds virtually. And so a thought process out there is, well, why would the Broncos not just do more interviews right now, unless there was one guy that they loved and they couldn't let go? Because a lot of these guys they are interviewing, including Terry Fontenot, including Champ Kelly, including George Payton, they have interest from other teams around the league. So unless one of those guys is going to get hired by another team and the Broncos don't want to lose him, that would be the only rush right now, because the Broncos aren't having to hire a GM and then hire a head coach. There's not as much of a rush there.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos, talking all things Denver Broncos. And is there anybody rising to the top as far, you know, just things that you're hearing? I mean, I keep seeing Champ Kelly's name pop out maybe more so than most, but that really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, well, Champ Kelly last week, at the end of last week, was my favorite to land this job. Now it's kind of shifted over the weekend. Champ Kelly still high up there. He's my number 2 right now, but right now it's looking at George Payton, just from things that I'm hearing. He's kind of at the top right now. He's a guy with just so much experience. And while none of these 5 guys that the Broncos interviewed, I guess now the list is narrowed down to 4 with Ziegler backing out, these 4 guys, none of them have GM experience, but George Payton is the closest thing to that. He's been the Vikings assistant general manager for many years, the vice president of player personnel, and has really worked alongside the Vikings GM as his right-hand man for many years, over the past decade, really. So he's the guy with the most experience, and I do think that is something the Broncos value. But here's the thing, Brady, is what people have kind of been talking about recently is what about a George Payton and Champ Kelly pairing? Because the Broncos aren't just losing John Elway as the GM, they're also losing Matt Russell, who is John Elway's right-hand man. He's retiring. So the Broncos have two spots to fill right now, and there is a chance that George Payton could become the GM and Champ Kelly could become his right-hand man, because that would actually be a step up for Champ Kelly, because right now Champ Kelly isn't the assistant GM. He's the assistant director of player personnel out there in Chicago. So the Broncos really could land their top two guys if they end up going that way and both guys accept that.
Very interesting to see how that one unfolds. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, Zach, what do you think here? You know, they get past all the niceties, they shake hands or they shake hands virtually, whatever. What is when they break down and get into business, what is the first question that you think they ask of these guys?
The first question is, how do you fix our quarterback position?
Wow.
Because John Elway has done, a pretty good job of building a roster around a quarterback. I mean, even back to 2015, he did a great job of putting together a Super Bowl team, and of course, including Peyton Manning in there. But then since then, the Broncos have had talent. They had a really good defense throughout the past 5 years. This year, tons of offense on the talent, but the quarterback position just hasn't been there. And everyone knows that the Broncos have struggled to find a quarterback since Peyton Manning left. So they're not necessarily saying, you know, how quick do you get Drew Lock out the door? They're saying, what is your plan at quarterback? And if it's Drew Lock, point to why you think he's going to be the quarterback of the future. Does that happen this year? How long is the leash on Drew? Or if it's Drew, okay, who's your guy in the draft? And a great thing about this, Brady, and another reason why I think it would be a great idea for the Broncos to expand the search now, talk to 10 people around the league and get their feeling on Drew Lock. If all 10 of them say, no, you guys are crazy, you got to move on from Drew Lock, that's a pretty good indication of what you should probably do if, you know, you have guys from outside of your organization saying that. But if you have 10 guys come in and 7 of them say, I really like what I've seen from Drew Lock, look at the progression he's made, then that's an indication to you to say, okay, for John to say, yeah, I knew I liked Drew, and now I'm getting that affirmation from around the league. So really expanding the search, getting all these ideas is great. And it also just helps you identify that quarterback position. And let's say also 7 of these guys come in and say that they would identify the draft. Well, then you find out who those favorite guys in the draft are. Is it Justin Fields? Is he worth the move up to number 2? Is it, Zach Wilson, or is it trading for someone? So that's just why I think that is the obvious question that you have to ask guys right away.
Zach, has this organization, regardless of who the next GM is, are they attached? Do they have any attachment to Drew Lock, or are they willing at this stage, we're going to hire that GM based on what his plan is, whatever, and if that's moving on from Drew Lock, we're going to take the guy that's qualified for the job overall, meaning if they answer, no, I don't like Drew Lock and I would look to move him, is that going to be something that impacts the hiring of that position?
I truly don't believe so. And Vic Fangio has given Drew Lock praise when he's deserved it, but he's been a guy who's been very open to what he's seen from Drew and has been critical at times. And in fact, just a week ago when we talked to Vic after the season wrapped up, he said Drew Lock can be the starting quarterback next year. That's not really the endorsement, a ringing endorsement. And if Vic is on this hiring committee, which he is, he's not going to be there saying, oh, you don't like Drew Lock, we can't hire you. I think he's going to be very open-minded to that. And John is Drew's biggest supporter in the building, but even John isn't saying, yep, Drew's our quarterback next year. So I truly do believe that the organization would be willing to go a different direction if that's how the GM views it.
Wow. Yeah, some interesting times for sure. All right. How about the let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. Are you asking about Justin Simmons? Are you asking about Von Miller? And again, same kind of thing. Is there a deep attachment to both of those guys? I mean, Von Miller, we know the history there. He's a Ring of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to go down in Broncos history as one of the greats. But what does that look like? You know, as far as the questions, can you get him to rework his contract? As you told us last week, if he is a Bronco, it's not going to be on that current contract. So I would imagine Justin Simmons, Von Miller, those two names come up quite a bit in that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, And Vic may be saying, how are you going to get a deal done with Justin Simmons? Because I want him here. I want to build a great defense. Last week, Vic said we do need to pay attention to the defensive side this offseason. And that would probably start with signing up your own guys in terms of Justin Simmons. But with Von Miller, a new guy coming in, I don't think that this helps Von stay here long term, because this is a new guy that, instead of viewing him as Von Miller, the number two overall pick, Super Bowl 50 MVP, look what Von's done for the Denver Broncos. Instead, this guy could come in and say, what have you done for me recently? Who is the Von Miller I'm getting now? A guy that just missed an entire season, is in his 30s, and when he played in 2019, he only had 8 sacks. Well, I'm certainly not paying him. I'll pay him market value, which, you know, may be way less than Von is looking at. So I think a new GM here does not help Von Miller's chances, but I do think a new GM here helps Justin Simmons' chances, because when we talked to Justin at the end of last week, at the end of the season, it really seemed like he was given a goodbye. Well, now with a new GM in place, Justin can restart those contract negotiations from scratch. The new GM may come in and say, I'm not letting an elite safety walk. Let's sign him up. Let's pay him the $15 million per year that John Elway wasn't willing to. So I think it helps Justin, hurts Von.
Well, one more for you there, Zach. Again, just thinking about this overall plan, and again, we can talk X's and O's, we can talk players, but there is still the looming issue over top as far as the ownership. We talked about how attractive is this job when there's a lot of variables, unknown variables, and that's going to be the case for anybody coming in, is they may not know. There may be a completely different plan in 2 years. Is that something that is well discussed as far as, hey, you come here, we're going to do our best to, I mean, if I'm a GM, prospective GM, and I take this job over any of the other, what, 5 or 6 jobs that are out there, don't I want to feel that I'm going to be the guy here for a long term, regardless of who comes in and owns this team in 2 years?
Absolutely, absolutely. That would be probably my number one question as a GM, especially the guys that they're interviewing, all first-time GMs potentially. They probably want to be here more than just 1 year, and it's crazy the amount of turnover that this organization could have in just over a year. They could have a new general manager. They could have a new CEO and president, because Joe Ellis told 9 News last week that that he does not look to extend his contract when it expires in March of 2022 next year. So new CEO, new president, and potentially a new owner, and that is what the Broncos would like to do, would be to get a new owner in as soon as possible, which could very well be a year, whether it's giving the team to Brittany or whether it's selling the team. And that is so much uncertainty and instability for a general manager, and that's something where John Elway and Joe Ellis said the lack of ownership that the Broncos have has not impacted them on the field, because they've had all the resources they want. But one thing they didn't address was guaranteeing that this guy would be able to make it through new ownership, because a new owner could come in and say, okay, this is my team now. I just invested billions of dollars in this team. I want to bring my people in. And then you could be talking about a one-and-done situation for a GM, really, regardless of how he does.
Zach, this is why it's just, again, it's, I know I've been harping on this. This is just why it's so fascinating to me that this was the year that Elway decided, all right, because I, you know, with all this, all these variables up in the air, I guess, again, I would have said one more year, given that this is a nobody knows what's going to happen after next year. Because even just like you said, we don't know. We hire a GM today, new ownership comes in with billions of dollars, and they feel entitled. And I'm not saying that's wrong. If you want to come in and own a team, you want to make sure you have your vision completed. I can't blame that person if that's what happens. But this is, again, why I question, you know, this year above all years.
Yeah, and just the amount of change that could happen with this organization starting 1 week ago, pretty much right now, 1 week ago from right now is when the news came out about John Elway stepping away from the general manager position. In 1 year from last week, it's not crazy to think that there would be a new general manager, a new president and CEO, a new owner, and then, of course, that brings up the question of possibly a new head coach as well. The uncertainty is just wild this next year.
I mean, do we even bother saying this is the year the Broncos get back in the playoffs? Or, I mean, does this feel like it's just going to be so far up in the air that, it's worse than when the Chargers were playing at a high school stadium. I feel like this team's going to be lost, wandering in the desert next season.
And I totally understand why you or someone else would feel like that. And it also may keep that John Elway win now mode in effect for the new general manager right now. Because let's say this new general manager comes in his first year and goes 6-10, and the team showed, you know, a little bit of improvement, seemed like they got some good guys in the draft. Well, a new owner could come in and say, 6-10 is unacceptable. I'm bringing my own guy in. Now, if a new owner comes in and the general manager just went 11-5 his first year as the GM, it's going to be a lot more difficult for him to convince the fan base and of this new owner saying, we're moving on from this GM. So that would just make it more of a win now mode instead of a, you know, let's take a step back and rebuild mode.
Now, maybe John Elway, all that with all the talk, with everything surrounding, maybe with that win now mentality, he could ride off into the sunset like he's always dreamt of. Zach, appreciate you spending some time with us as always, man. I know you're monitoring this general manager situation closely, so we'll keep an eye on your Twitter feed, and we'll be reaching out soon.
Hey, I appreciate that, Brady. And before I get off, just got to give a birthday shout-out to your son, Gavin.
I love it, man. I appreciate that. 3 years old already. It's crazy, man. It just flies by.
Oh, man, I bet. Well, and have a great, great night with him, man.
I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Sounds great.
All right, man. That's cool. I got to tell the little guy. I mean, Zach Stevens reaching out saying happy birthday. My goodness. This kid's way more popular than I am, and he's only 3 years old, 22 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break, but Colfax, before we do that, let me tell you about my friends over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at MySpecialMortgage.com. They're family and veteran-owned. And you've heard that interest rates are at all-time lows, so now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax-deductible, and your house payment is. Check them out. Their number is 970-444-1222. Or their website is MySpecialMortgage.com. 22 minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Special Studios. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's recap the... Well, I mean, we had six wild card games, and for the most part, some of them were pretty wild. Some weren't as good as they could have been. It was kind of a 50-50 type weekend. We'll be right back.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-seven minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I am live inside of the Auto Collision Special Studios. Hey, how about this? You get the arch nemesis of the show, Dixon. I mean, we know that he goes at me a lot on our text line, and I go at him a lot. I get it. But he says, hey, tell Gavin that the nemesis says happy birthday. Yeah, I appreciate that. Oh, and by the way, Vaughn and Elway suck. He's getting old enough for me to start working on converting him to the darks. There it is. There it is. Yes. You can never truly get a special, genuine moment there from the arch nemesis of the show. Always has to throw something in at this point. Well, you know, a lot of thinking about Vaughn Miller. The longer this thing goes, and again, it's not like it's gone long. It's been a week. It just doesn't make that much sense, as much as I love to see him, unless he's willing to take a pretty significant pay cut. And what's significant? From 19 to... I mean, 15's not even that significant, so maybe it doesn't make sense anymore. If you're really trying to prepare and go for one more win, I mean, is Vaughn going to add to that next year? And, I mean, now you try to put all your efforts in, you get Justin Simmons taken care of. You figure that out first. Colfax, it was a wild weekend, man, a wild card weekend. We had three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. Let's go to game number one, Bills-Colts. I picked the Bills to win this thing, got a little nervous there, even in the Hail Mary pass. Philip Rivers, I got a lot of respect for him. I know a lot of Broncos country hates Phillip Rivers, but I like this guy. I like his trash talk. I like the fact that he doesn't curse. He's a family man. He's an all-around good dude. He almost brought this team back. They outscored the Bills 14-10, but that Josh Allen might have been the best quarterback over the weekend.
Allen into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Man, I mean, Josh Allen was, he threw 324 yards, threw two touchdown passes, but he also ran for 54 yards, and as you just heard, the touchdown pass there. Phillip Rivers had two touchdowns, 309 passing yards, but overall, Josh Allen's amazing. Stephon Diggs had a huge game with 128 yards, and this Bills team got it done. They're moving on. And they'll take on the Ravens next week, so that should be very, very interesting. The Rams and the Seahawks, here's where I lost. Second game in, didn't take me long, Colfax. Seattle, listen, all the talk, and listen, their defense struggled too. They couldn't stop Jared Goff with a broken thumb, you know, healing up a little bit. Cam Akers, though, ran all over Seattle. That's where they were kind of good at the beginning of the season. Then their defense got a lot better. They averaged only allowing 16 points per game in the last eight games. It was the offense. Russell Wilson couldn't do anything. And it's not really a knock on Wilson. That offensive line was struggling. Aaron Donald and company were everywhere. Wilson ended the day 11 for 27. His QBR was 17.6. He was sacked five times, but pressured a hell of a lot more than that. And the Rams walk away with the dub, and they're moving on as well. So they take care of the Seattle Seahawks, where the Seahawks just simply don't lose at home. Next up, what is he, like 90 now? You keep wanting him to go away. Everybody's wishing for Tom Brady to just go away. Listen, it was closer than a lot of us thought. But and this defense didn't look fantastic against Washington. I kind of thought Steven Montez was going to get an opportunity. But he did get to put the coat on Hankey there. So that was kind of nice. He's helping him out. But Tom Brady, end of the day, 381 yards and two touchdowns.
Leonard Fournette at the back on third and three. On play action, Brady to his second look. It's open. It's Antonio Brown for the touchdown.
Antonio Brown. Wow. What a story there. I mean, two catches for 49 yards and a touchdown, but he's I thought this guy was gone. And what's he doing? He ends up catching a touchdown pass from Tom Brady in a playoff game to help send them past Washington. Now Tampa Bay will take on a tough Saints team coming up this weekend. So look out. That's going to be a battle. This was another interesting game. Bears-Saints. Let's look at that one real quick. Now, the Bears could only score 9 points. They lose 21-9 in this one. Drew Brees was all right, 28-39. Trubisky threw one touchdown. He should have had another deep touchdown, but it was just dropped by Javon Wims, who had one reception for 28 yards. That would have made it 7-7, and who knows? Maybe this changes this game upside down, or maybe it makes the Saints play a little bit differently, too. Alvin Kamara with a nice day, 99 yards and a touchdown. The Saints are moving on, and the Bears, we talked about Champ Kelly, they're going to have some big decisions to make coming up, including one about that quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. All right, let's go to this one. This was my game of the week. I wanted to save it for the best for last, but this was my favorite play. You know I love watching Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league. He's got to be one of the most entertaining, though. Pretty close, anyway. Especially when he makes runs like this.
Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
What was that, like a 49-yard rushing touchdown? He threw for 179 yards. He did throw a pick, but he ran 16 times for 136 yards and a touchdown. It's so unorthodox. We just don't see this, and we haven't seen this before. And every week, I'm just amazed that this is going on still. That a quarterback carries it six times, while the rest of your team combined carried it for 19 times. So it's bizarro world to me. Meanwhile, on the other hand, I was really rooting for Derrick Henry. I love a traditional run game. I love running. I love rushing. It's great. Henry was shut down, though. 18 carries for 40 yards, and Ryan Tannehill, this is where his limitations are. if Derrick Henry's not getting the job done, then Tannehill, most of the time, is going to be kind of an average type quarterback. So Baltimore's moving on, and we're moving on as well. Cleveland and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I picked the Steelers to win this game. I was wrong before we even got to the second quarter.
Second down and 10 here. Mayfield throws to Chubb, makes the grab, gets some blocking, breaks tackles, and Chubb is going to go all the way to the end zone.
Boy, there you go, man. Nick Chubb, he had a decent day, 76 yards, but I tell you what, it was the play that he had, and I know he had the receiving touchdown for about 70 yards, or 70 yards receiving as well, but there was a play there where Pittsburgh made a stop, then they couldn't convert, still down two scores, you need to make a stop. Chubb gets a big run and just... get a receiving run, it just absolutely shuts down. I mean, this is a guy that no matter what, he keeps churning. I've been very impressed with Cleveland. I counted them out all season, but congratulations, Baker Mayfield and company are going to the next level. How about a shout out to our boy Rashard Higgins, former Colorado State Rams? Not a huge game, but he had two receptions for 28 yards, earned himself a nice contract for the next couple of years. So that was a crazy, crazy weekend, man. I'm pumped to see what this second round looks like. I think this is going to be a really good time coming up this weekend. I was excited for the other round, but now you got the Rams and the Packers. Not as excited about that. I would imagine the Packers just run away. I'll give my official picks later this week. Tampa Bay, New Orleans. That was almost my game of the week. But I think Tampa Bay gets past this game. I really do. I'm just not sold on New Orleans at this point. I don't know that Drew's been right since he came back. We'll see. I'm going Nuggets Jazz for my game of the week, but I told you it's kind of a rematch from that playoff stint on Sunday. So that's my game of the week. I'm excited about it. Plus, there's a lot of great playoff games. AFC, see, this was another one. Ravens Bills. That's going to be a hell of a good game, man. Cleveland and Kansas City. Is that going to be a good game? The line would tell you no. Can you guess, Colfax? What are the Chiefs favored by? And remember when I say 10 plus, that usually means, wow, you have a great team versus a bad team. What do you think the line is?
Well, is it 10 plus?
No, it's not.
Okay. Let's go a touchdown.
9.5.
Oh, wow.
9.5 points, according to ESPN. The over-under is 55. So, I guess you're not really counting Pittsburgh faded so badly that you're not really giving them much respect for that victory. Because you look at the rest of the spreads here. Rams, Packers, 7. Packers favored by 7. Bucks, Saints. Saints are favored by 3.5. Bills, Ravens. Bills are favored by 2.5. So all pretty close games. If it's a touchdown or under, once it's over a touchdown, two score game, that tells you something. So very pumped to see what happens here this weekend. Should be a great time. 37 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we need to jump out and get the latest on the local news or sports flash. Excuse me. We'll get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, maybe you're driving around right now. You see that check engine light, or it's making a weird noise. Your brakes are starting to become a little untrustworthy. Maybe you should think about Auto Tailor. Their master technicians are here for you guys to assist in troubleshooting vehicle problems and explaining what's going on in easy-to-understand terms. They're not going to give you a list of everything that must be done today or you're going to blow up on the highway. They are going to let you know what's happening. How long can you go with a certain issue before you need to really consider getting it taken care of. That's Auto Tailor here in Greeley. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Colfax, you know when the future's bright, when you can look at this. And the AFC, Baker Mayfield is the youngest quarterback on the AFC side of it in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield's 25. He's a little bit older than Mahomes. Mahomes is 25. Lamar Jackson's 24. Josh Allen's 24. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And both guys are 25, Baker. Then you go to the other side, and other than, I don't know if it's going to be Jared Goff or not, but he's 26, so he would still be older than all the guys on the AFC side of the bracket. Drew Brees, 41, Aaron Rodgers, 37, Tom Brady, 43. So the NFC, I mean, I know Tom Brady switched over from the AFC, but the NFC elites are the average age there. I guess Goff brings it down quite a bit, but man, you got two guys in their 40s, one guy in his late 30s, and then one guy, you know, late 20s, I suppose. But on that AFC side, man, the future is just really, really bright. Baker's going to, I mean, is Baker going to be there for the long haul? You think he's going to be around? Is this just kind of a big year? You know, no Stefanski over the weekend, but they had a good enough game plan going in, and Pittsburgh has just been a train wreck the last 5 weeks. They catch Pittsburgh at the right time. So, I mean, is Cleveland going to be here? Are we going to start seeing the Browns in these playoffs? Maybe. I definitely think we'll be seeing the Bills. We're going to be seeing the Chiefs. We're going to be seeing the Ravens. They're going to be fixtures in the playoffs, these young quarterbacks. The new era of quarterbacks look no further than this weekend in the AFC. So, I mean, I think that's a great, great thing right there. Because, you know, for the longest time, it's been these quarterbacks. It's been Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady running the NFL. And now we're stepping aside. And you still have, you know, Phillip Rivers made it to the playoffs. You're still seeing, you know, Russell Wilson, these guys. They're still going to be there for maybe a few more years. Phillip Rivers, I don't know how much longer he's going to do this thing, but I mean, you got four guys right there that are fun to watch, too. You know, Baker certainly had his ups and downs, but they each possess something so unique. You know, Baker's got the attitude, kind of the cockiness to him. Patrick Mahomes has the arm, the charm, and the playmaking abilities. Josh Allen's kind of the grit, you know, like that guy's just not going to give up. And then Lamar Jackson's just flashy. I mean, he is just, it's like watching Lightning McQueen out there, man. It's so much fun. So they all possess these really unique items that I think, man, you don't have to work very hard to market these guys. They take care of it themselves. All four, so much fun to watch. Who's going to come out of the NFC side of it, though? I think a lot of people thinking it's going to be the Packers and the Chiefs. I mean, it's hard to go against you. If you're looking at the stats of the year and the way Aaron Rodgers has been playing, that would be a blast of a Super Bowl, wouldn't it? Packers, Chiefs. Now, I'm sticking with my pick. I'm just going to stay there because Lord knows I got the Broncos record way the hell off. Maybe I will call the Super Bowl here. I did say it was going to be Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Well, for one weekend, at least, I'm there. So I'll take it. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is a Denver Nuggets-related question. Because, again, they had a nice weekend. I know probably went under the radar there with all the action happening, but they had a nice weekend. They beat the Sixers, and I know the Sixers had like four people. I'm pretty sure I saw Colfax out there subbing in at one point in time. COVID hit them hard. Okay, I'll take it, though. Nuggets win, and maybe they get some confidence. Well, suddenly they go up against a New York team, a New York Knicks team that, you know, they've been playing pretty good basketball, so that should have provided a little bit of a challenge. It wasn't. Denver found a way. I mean, 114-89, and taking some time to talk about this roster, right now, Gary Harris, the last couple of games, he kind of reminds me of the Gary Harris of old. I mean, he had 14 points. That's not like a crazy number, but 2-for-4 from the three-point line. The other night, I think he made 5 three-pointers. So we're starting to see Gary Harris. And Colfax, it's kind of like if you get offense from him, it's kind of like you went and signed somebody new in the offseason because you haven't had offense from him in two seasons. You know, he was averaging 18 points 2.5 years ago. We have not even come close to seeing that really since he got hurt, and he's just never been the same. But he's still a pretty good defensive player. He's not one of the tops like he used to be, but he's pretty good, maybe their best on-ball defender. But, I mean, if he can come in and get you 14 points on a regular basis, I'll take it. Meanwhile, you have Jamal Murray, 9. Where's Bubble Murray? When do we get Bubble Murray back? That's who we need. But you still win. You still score 114. That's because you have Jamichael Green with 10. You have a bench that's showing up for you. Look at this bench. Everybody played, and I get that in these kind of games, but you saw Morris with 12. P.J. Dozier had 12. Jermichael Green had 10. Hartenstein had 8. Faku got in the game. Oh, wow. Must have been a lineup Mike Malone liked. He had 5. He was plus 16, though. Monte Morris plus minus was plus 26. That's phenomenal. So the bench showed us something there. So is this going to open up? But our Power to Play Sports poll question is there something deeper going on between the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. than just COVID-19 protocols? Because first we heard he was on, you know, the contact tracing. He was going to be out for a while. Then we heard he was going to be good to go against Dallas. These were well-respected reporters reporting on this. And then a couple hours before that tip-off Thursday, we were told, nope, he's going to be out for 10 full days. Now we're hearing on Saturday, Michael Porter Jr. is out indefinitely. Now we're having comments on Facebook saying, well, that means he has COVID. Even if he has COVID, is it still... by the time we're done with this, 10 days from Thursday will be Saturday or Sunday. So that should be when he's coming back. But he's already been out. Now, again, is he not practicing the COVID protocols? Is he not wearing a mask? Is he having parties? Is he doing all that stuff? I don't really know. But bottom line is there seems to be something fishy going on between the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. What is it? And can you afford it? You need to mend this thing. There's been issues between Mike Malone and MPJ dating back to the bubble because of his thoughts on COVID, because of his thoughts on how a late game was executed by the coaching staff. And I'm not agreeing with that. I like Michael Porter Jr., but you got to get it right with your coach. We'll see. Time will tell. Go vote. 54% of the hooligans say no. It's simply safety precautions. I don't know, man. I agree with 45% of the hooligans that are saying yes. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up on the other side. What's on TV? You got the national championship game. I know we didn't hit a lot of that, but there's a lot of local activity going on. Yeah, we'll be watching Ohio State, Alabama. Who you like in that one? We'll get to that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
National championship game on tonight, Ohio State, Alabama. This has been a strange college football year. All comes to an end here tonight. 6 o'clock on ESPN. What else is on TV? Colorado taking on Utah tonight. That's going to be at 4 o'clock. So the Buffs have been playing some really good basketball, coming off of beating Oregon last week. What a crazy victory there. We had Tad Boyle talk to us about that win and about his Buffaloes, if you missed that. That's our big interview available at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. Should be another fun night. Man, I tell you, was it Saturday or Friday night? Every game was going on at the same time. It was Saturday, afternoon. I mean, the Nuggets played early. You had Colorado State playing early. UNC played early. And you had all the NFL playoffs going on. So, the recall button, you need four of those buttons at that stage. It gets difficult. What did we learn today? Closing thoughts. I definitely think there's something going on with the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. I think it goes all the way back to the bubble. I just don't know. How big is this? You know, nobody's saying anything. And if it's a privacy thing, okay. Is that the new NBA guidelines with COVID? We don't release who has it? Because I think that could be kind of counterproductive. I mean, you should know who has it, right? And we're in a day and age now where everybody reports on who has COVID. I'm pretty sure, I love Adam Schefter, a lot of respect for him, but there for a while, every tweet that he had was just which player had COVID-19. That was it. So I find it a little shocking if he does have it, why it's not being reported. But why is it being reported that he's out indefinitely? Because there are protocols in place. Not just for athletes, for all of us, that if you have it, it's this many days quarantine, then you got to have a negative check, whatever. something's going on there. That's certainly something to keep an eye out for. NFL weekend that was, I think last weekend was pretty good. I anticipate this weekend being a lot of fun. Some really, really close games. Thanks to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. A lot of good things happening throughout Northern Colorado. Just make sure you're paying attention. We'll be back at it on a Top Text Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.